Hollywood movies depict the gut-wrenching realities of a nuclear war, but most Americans don't believe that the unthinkable will happen. Discover what Bible prophecy says about the imminent threat of nuclear warfare next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
A staggering turn in world events is soon going to erupt that will astound the whole world. As a matter of fact, two absolutely unthinkable world events are going to occur in the approximate future. First, the unthinkable nuclear World War III that could wipe every man, woman, and child off the face of this earth, annihilate all civilization, is definitely going to come. But it will be stopped before any such fate finally happens. And then, just as unthinkable, is world peace, an absolute utopia on Earth, and that too is definitely going to happen in the approximate future.
That's Herbert Armstrong talking about two unthinkable events that Jesus Christ prophesied of in Matthew 24, the Olivet prophecy. Are you spiritually and even emotionally prepared for this staggering turn in world events? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Key of David. We have a lot to get to on today's show. We're going to start in Matthew 24, the Olivet prophecy. That clip there was from 1983, just a couple of years before Herbert Armstrong died. And in recent programs, we've been drawing attention to the 40-year anniversary of his death. It's a very different world today than it was even back at that time. But God's prophecies are sure. They will be fulfilled, every single one of them. Notice Matthew 24 and verse 21. It says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Never, never before has there been anything like what has been described here in this prophecy. Hasn't happened yet. In fact, it was impossible, as you'll see from the next verse, until we entered into the nuclear age there at the close of World War II. Now it's possible for verse 22 to happen. It says in verse 22, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive." I mean, is this real? Is this true? Could this possibly happen? This is unthinkable. This is what Mr. Armstrong was talking about. One of the unthinkable events. The other is just as unthinkable, talked about in the same chapter. The spectacular return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But it says, "For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened," or cut short. "Great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of human civilization." I mean, this Jesus Christ dates this prophecy. As I say, it had to happen at a time. It's fulfilled at a time when human beings have advanced so far with respect to technology, in this case, the technology of modern warfare, to be able to annihilate human civilization. My father writes in this little booklet, "Nuclear Armageddon is at the door." This is the booklet, one of them, that we're going to spotlight today on the show. If you don't have a copy of this in your library, make sure that you call our operators today and request "Nuclear Armageddon is at the door." He says, and he's referring to the Olivet prophecy here, "This prophecy is obviously about nuclear warfare." Could that be true? Does the Bible have a thing or two to say about nuclear warfare? Well, it absolutely does. I don't have time in one program to take you through many of the Old Testament prophecies that talk about entire cities being obliterated in the last days. It says, "Yet people say, so what?" I mean, here is a prophecy obviously referring to nuclear warfare, and most people are just kind of ho-hum about it. It says, "Will they have to experience it before they say more than so what? If we won't listen to someone like Winston Churchill, we surely ought to listen to Jesus Christ." Not one word of his will fail. I asked about being emotionally and spiritually prepared for what's coming. But do you believe? I mean, before that, you've got to believe in the sure word of Bible prophecy. You've got to believe that Christ's warning is true. It's coming. Another quote from the same booklet. So all this nuclear insanity is also a part of the sign of the second coming and the sign of the end of the age when Christ will save humanity from totally exterminating itself. So that's pointing to the other unthinkable event. It's a sign of Jesus Christ's return to this earth. And that's the best news you could ever hope for. Finally, solutions to all of the problems that we see man having brought on himself for 6,000 years. My father wrote an article in the Trumpet magazine. And of course, if you're not a Trumpet subscriber, this is the latest issue, the January 2026 issue. If you're not a Trumpet subscriber, we offer it to you free, without cost, without obligation, a free one-year subscription that gets you 10 issues sent to your mailbox every month, or almost every month. But he writes, this is actually going back to 2014 in the Trumpet magazine. My father talks about the unthinkable as well. He says, the Second World War ended with the development and use of the nuclear bomb, a world war where many nations, some of which sponsor terrorism, start out with nuclear weapons, is an unparalleled nightmare. We can't even imagine how bad it will be. His point being that, you know, the last world war ended with the use of nuclear weapons or atomic weapons. The next world war starts with them. That's what your Bible says. Yes, the unthinkable will happen. It will. I mean, if you look at the destruction, the carnage, the suffering, the millions, tens of millions of deaths in World War II, an estimated 60 or 70 million. And then who knows how many million before that in World War I. I mean, this is just in the past century, a little more than a century. Look at what man has done to himself. And at the same time, as I've been covering recently on this program, I mean, look at everything that we've tried to do to make peace. All these international institutions that have been created and designed to make peace, but they keep failing. We keep producing war. I mean, you read some of these quotes, whether it's from my father or Herbert Armstrong many, many years ago, and you begin to get a sense of what Christ is talking about here in Matthew 24. And besides that, just look, as I say, look at modern weapons of warfare, how destructive they are. My father says here, these problems are almost too horrifying to even contemplate. That's why most people ignore the potential for nuclear war. They just bury their heads in the sand. They're at ease in Zion, as it says in Amos 6. They're complacent. They're blind. They're blind to what's coming. Winston Churchill said, following the end of World War II, he said, mankind has never been in this position before without having improved appreciably in virtue or enjoying wiser guidance. It has got into its hands for the first time the tools by which it can unfailingly accomplish its own extermination. You used to hear more of these warnings from world leaders. Not so much anymore. Even the leaders of the most powerful nations are convinced that we'll never have another war. And yet, look at how many wars. Okay, they haven't been world wars, but look at how many wars we've had since the end of World War II. You would have thought that would have just jolted the world into a movement that would at least go the way of peace. But the problem is, we don't know the way to peace. We definitely know the way to make war. Man has gotten quite good at that. That's Winston Churchill after World War II. General Douglas MacArthur, one of America's most famous generals, he said, after the signing of the Japanese surrender in 1945, he had a thing or two to say about the pursuit of peace And he also gave a very strong, sobering warning. I mean, Churchill said, look, we haven't seen virtue improve appreciably, but we have improved the technology to produce weapons of mass destruction. So what are we going to do about this? This is a dangerous mix. MacArthur, he said this on September 2nd, 1945. Men since the beginning of time have sought peace. Military alliances, balances of power, leagues of nations, all in turn failed, leaving the only path to be by way of the crucible of war. The utter destructiveness of war now blots out this alternative. It says, we have had our last chance. If we do not devise some greater and more equitable system, Armageddon will be at the door. We've had our last chance. This is how we came up with the title of this little booklet. We've had our last chance. It's a direct quote from Douglas MacArthur. Another warning message, sounding the alarm. As they say, you don't hear much of it today, sadly. We hear a lot about peace, as I've been saying on the program. But what about man's history? What about the crucible of war? MacArthur says, the problem, the reason why all these pursuits of peace have failed, he says the problem basically is theological. Where do you hear this message today? You don't even hear this from preachers. The problem is basically theological and involves a spiritual recrudescence, an improvement of human character that will synchronize with our almost matchless advance in science, art, literature, and all material and cultural developments of the past 2,000 years. He says it must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh. I mean, that almost sounds like a quote Mr. Armstrong would have written. It must be of the spirit if we're to save the flesh. Herbert Armstrong used to say that all of man's problems are spiritual in nature. We're cut off from God. Genesis 3 brings this out. God closed off the tree of life to mankind because of Adam and Eve's decision to go it alone, to go and build up a civilization apart from God, in rebellion against God, and under the sway and influence of the god of this world, who is Satan the devil. That's 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. This world, I mean, it all started in the Garden of Eden. And here we are, right at the last days. Right in the last days. And look at what we're facing. Jesus prepared us for this. On my radio program, The Trumpet Daily, recently, I was talking about this movie that came out when I was a teenager back in the 1980s. It came out in 1983. It was called The Day After. It was a television movie, and I mean, tens of millions of people in America were just riveted by this movie about nuclear warfare and what happens the day after all these nuclear blasts in our country, around the world. And this was a time when everybody at least would stop and think a little bit. And we're at least sobered by the thought of nuclear bombs blowing up. And yes, we were in the sort of the peak of the Cold War. It was a few years from being over, but still you had this standoff between the United States and the Soviet Union. And so the threat was real. Well, just because the Soviet Union imploded, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, doesn't mean that all of those nuclear bombs went away. They're still there in Russia, in the United States, all over the world. I think 10 nations have nuclear weapons. There's tens of thousands of nukes on this earth still. But as I say, back then, I mean, people were terrified, particularly when they sat down and watched a movie like The Day After. And then they had this panel discussion after the movie, and all these experts talking about what we need to do to make sure we prevent this from ever happening. Listen to this local report. This is from New York, and they're commenting. I won't play a clip or a trailer, for the day after. You can go back and Google that on your own time. But this was a report about the movie, clip two.
It was a movie like no other movie, and it had a profound impact on New York. That story next. We'll hear from people who, like you, watch the ultimate disaster movie tonight on television.
This is Eyewitness News with Mark Haynes, Ann Butler, Bill Gutch, Jerry Azar, and the Eyewitness News team.
Good evening. Here's what's happening. Most of you who watch the ABC movie the day after are probably still feeling just a little numb right now. Maybe you discussed what you saw with your family and friends. It still leaves you, though, wondering about life, about the world, and about what you'd do if you knew the nuclear missiles were, in fact, on the way here. Well, our reporter McGee Hickey has been out all night gauging New York's reaction to the day after.
More than 700 people packed Riverside Church tonight to watch the day after. Many said they came here because they were afraid to watch it alone. Most bars in the city show the day after on their screens. Business at this bar dropped off by half.
This has been so hyped in the other areas of the media that people are just sticking home to watch it, and it's affecting us dramatically here.
What we have seen, the missiles launched, the nuclear explosions, the devastating results was all fiction.
But what brought us to that point is fact. It's something we've been living with for years. It's the arms race, with both sides able to wipe out each other many times over.
Many times over. That's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24. Something this world's never seen, and if not for God's intervention, it would happen. It could happen many times over. That movie was in 1983, as I said, and Herbert Armstrong, that was the last few years of his ministry, the mid-80s. And he watched that movie. He commented on it. He made an entire World Tomorrow program about it. And he actually had good things to say. He's like, people paused. You heard there from that local report. People were afraid. They went to churches to watch it because they didn't want to watch it alone. There was an article recently from the New York Times talking about nuclear anxiety. That staple of the 1980s cinema is back. And it goes and talks about all of these you know, nuclear warfare movies that Hollywood is producing today. But it's very different. I mean, nobody's going away from them. Not today in 2026. Terrified, afraid. They're not going to movie, or rather to churches, to watch it with big groups. I mean, it's just entertainment. And it's so much more realistic. And it's exciting to see these explosions. Well, back in 1983, it was a little more real. And people were more sobered. And as I say, Herbert Armstrong said, you know, that's a good thing. We need that. Given what's prophesied, given what's coming. Listen to this clip from Mr. Armstrong's 1983 program, The World Tomorrow. Can mankind survive nuclear warfare? This is clip three.
On Sunday night, November the 20th, 1983, 100 million in the United States were shocked out of complacency by the television movie The Day After. It has been talked about and discussed ever since. It made history in the United States. It made the public aware of the horror of a possible coming nuclear world war and the coming Armageddon. After the movie, a group of several experts discussed the movie itself. It's too bad that half or more of that vast audience tuned out and didn't hear that discussion, the most important part of all. And the question for discussion was, and it was only a discussion, not an argument, the question was, what can be done to prevent a nuclear war? And is there still time? Is there still time? The public simply does not understand the dilemma that the United States is in, and the almost certainty that there will be a nuclear world war. the reality is going to be much greater than shown in that movie.
100 million people, one television program. I mean, that's like a, almost like a Super Bowl audience. 1983. And there's Mr. Armstrong saying, you know, we do need to be shocked out of our complacency. He said, you know, people should have tuned in for the panel discussion after the movie. That was very important, too. Listen to a bit from that, clip four.
I do not believe the American people understand the world we live in. I do not believe they understand the full risk that we face. There are 40,000 nuclear warheads in the inventories of the U.S. and the Soviet Union today, with a destruction power roughly a million times that of the Hiroshima bomb.
Mr. Armstrong, when commenting on the flaws, you know, in the movie and mostly the discussion afterwards, some of it was, at least they're talking about it. You have to give them credit. That expert there, I don't know who it was, but he says, I don't think America really understands the world we're living in right now. But Mr. Armstrong said, in all of the discussion, really what you learn is that we don't know the way to peace. And also God was left out of the discussion. Again, if our problems are spiritual in nature, God should be at the center of the discussion. But he's not. And if that was the case in 1983, I mean, what do you think it's like today when people go see these nuclear warfare films and they just love it? It's great entertainment. Listen again to Mr. Armstrong from his program, clip five.
Another thing that I noticed, they spoke as if there is no God. It's just left to humans to try to solve these problems, and the problems are beyond human solution. There was not one iota of any indication that any man was even conscious of the fact that there is a God who looks down on all nations, who determines the outcome of wars, who determines what is going to happen to this earth. No concern for that at all. Only helpless men, and showing how helpless we are in this world without God. And yet, it is only God who can tell us what is going to happen, or who can cause the future and bring it about. And therein is the only hope, and men can't seem to turn to that hope.
Helpless without God. We need God to solve our problems. We have to turn to God for solutions. We, as MacArthur said, I mean, the problem is theological. The problem is spiritual. The problem is with human character. The problem is human nature. Listen to this exchange in that panel discussion following the day after that movie in 1983. This is clip six.
The key word is education, and I happen to believe that that is the only way for us to save mankind is through education. It's not weapons. We are talking here about changing weapons, improving weapons. Why not improve human nature, if it is possible at all, to speak about it?
If it is possible at all, he says. You know, we're working hard to improve weapons, but how hard are we working to improve human nature? Well, that was in 1983, and I'm here to tell you that human nature is worse even. Paul says that in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse and worse. That's what we're seeing. We're using technology to spread the evil, to kill more people with weapons, to cause more damage to the earth and human civilization. It's obvious. Should be. Mr. Armstrong wrote in The Plain Truth, I think this too was following all of the attention that that movie was getting in 1983. He says here, soft words and pretty speeches did not arouse people out of this pleasant dream. It took a jolt. When we attempted to warn our readers with words strong enough to arouse, I received letters saying, cancel my subscription. That article frightened me. He said, yes, if you are to continue to live, you need to be frightened. Frightened enough to take the action that will save your life. You see, if you're sobered, if you're frightened, if you're afraid of what's coming, well, channel that in the direction of God and turn to God and cry out to Him for understanding, for faith, for deliverance, for safety. God will hear those prayers, but we've got to have a childlike attitude, and we've got to be submissive to his rule, his authority. Just coming back to this prophecy, the Olivet prophecy, Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Again, he says there's going to be great tribulation, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened or cut short. In The Incredible Human Potential, Mr. Armstrong says, it's time we face the hard, cold, realistic fact. Humanity has two alternatives. Either there is an almighty, all-powerful God who is about to step in and set up the kingdom of God to rule all nations with supernatural and supranational force to bring us peace, or else all human life will be obliterated. Well, we can thank God that the other unthinkable event is sure, just as sure as great tribulation, and that is the return of Jesus Christ to this earth and the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. Verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. All of these heavenly signs right after the tribulation, it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming. He is coming back as he promised he would in John 14. He's coming down from the clouds to this earth. And notice it says the nations of the earth, they mourn. They don't want the rule of Jesus Christ. Why would they not want that? The perfect rule of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you want to read more about these prophecies, in some cases these unthinkable prophecies, I refer you again to these two booklets, We've Had Our Last Chance, and then also Nuclear Armageddon is at the Door. And if you haven't subscribed, make sure you get a Trumpet subscription together with that. That's all we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request our free booklets, We Have Had Our Last Chance, and Nuclear Armageddon is at the Door. Order now.
The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.